Maya Tiwari is looking at wholeness through her rear view and all the way back to the origins of the Vedas, the ancient Sanskrit texts. Her most recent book, I Am Shakti, envelops her life's work as the healed one, the healer, and as a leader in interfaith and humanitarian work. Binary realities of the feminine and masculine are out, as surrender and forgiveness will usher in peace. And at the start of this interview, we pick up our friendship from many years ago when we spoke about Ayurvedic healing. I'm Robin with Maya Tiwari for Tributaries.
You're doing your radio show, and I'm so happy it's on Zoom. It takes so much effort to get dressed and sit in front of the screen. I've always loved just the simple act of radio, and thank goodness you've kept that.
Yeah, and honestly, it's just easy just to listen and not really engage all the senses. It frees up a little bit more for imagining. And I also have a podcast on regenerative agriculture called Cultivated Audio, totally separate. And I was interviewing this man in Australia, and he was a surfer, and we finished the interview, and we were on the Zoom, and he starts changing right in front of the camera to go surfing. And I was just like...
Well, Australians, you know, you should see the swimsuit these chaps wear. It's quite a free country, actually. You know, they're way freer than Americans are with their bodies, honestly.
Yeah, well, that can be a good thing, too, I think.
Of course, it depends on what serves your audience best, Robin, but I'd love to present changing our frequencies and what we can do to step into that and not be afraid of it. Talking more about the new earth and the higher frequencies and confusions people may have about that, about our entire planet changing, really.
Yes.
Evolving in an incredible way. And it's not something that you're hearing a lot about on mainstream or even on the alternative channels. And I think because people are, I guess they're waiting for the ball to drop or something.
Hello, everyone. The ball is dropping. Yes, yes. Let me just dive in a little bit to your latest book, I Am Shakti, and if our conversation doesn't naturally go in that direction, I would love to make that a focus for sure.
Definitely. It does, in fact, cover it in the sense of the balance that we need between masculine and feminine.
I guess we'll just let it roll from here, Maya. And in seeing your book, I Am Shakti, for me, in reading about what is Shakti, I've read that in Sanskrit, Shakti is defined as power or force or energy. And in Hindu philosophy, it's come to represent feminine energy. So my question is, has a separation there created a chasm, perhaps, that we are today still looking to resolve?
Shakti in Sanskrit, which is Vedic, before a Hinduism time, actually is the divine feminine or primordial feminine energies of the universe. You know, it can field out in many ways. It can be personified as the divine mother and her creatrix aspects. It could be the feminine force of the woman herself for creative and otherwise. But in fact, it is always referred to the feminine manifestation and the manifestation force of the feminine in both in our universe, our planets, as well as in our bodies as women.
In writing about this, then, you write about the mother wound as an impaired life force. That is certainly what we're moving through. And if you could describe that for us.
Yes, the mother womb, it's deep, right? It is the scar that we have inherited not only from ancestors, but that they have inherited from their ancestors. And also, I think, a scarring in terms of the wound when we came locked down as a 3D planet instead of 5D.
Yes.
And so I think that basically, you know, when we talk about the mother wound, we're talking about the divine feminine being compromised in some ways, not just through the portal of creation, our birth channels, but in how that has come through in terms of feminine power, feminine authority, you know, the privileges that is innate to the feminine person. So mother wound doesn't have to be just in the mother. It's inherited, genetically inherited. It is central to the divine feminine, divine masculine balance. One of the pivotal reasons it was thrown off was because of the mother wound. The mother wound predates our birth. It predates our generation. It predates our parents' and grandparents' generation. It really goes back to the historic time. I don't know if it was 26,000 years ago, but that was the last major elliptical eclipse that locked down Earth into the 3D dimension instead of her natural 5D dimension. I didn't talk about that so much in the book, but I talked about the feminine power being usurped by the patriarchs or the cabals or the deep state, whatever we call them.
Yeah, I have two things that come up for me with that, and I don't know which one I should really have you address first, but to me it almost feels like a lost path to look for an equality within the masculine and feminine or Shiva Shakti. It feels like an odd agreement that got made somewhere, and now it is somewhat playing out through us in a power over or a power struggle, which appears to offer no resolve because we're sort of caught in a battle instead of caught in what true feminism is. And getting equal pay isn't a start, it's more of a result of that deeper understanding first.
Yes, and that is exactly what has brought us to this point of the new earth. We have been living under the very illusory, you know, when you're watching a television show, it's a simulation, and we can turn off that TV show. But we have been the simulation in terms of 3D. The dynamics of 3D is that we were locked down, that so much was locked down by mimic architecture that took over the natural architecture of Earth. And we don't want to confuse your audience about this, because this can be a very complex topic. So we'll simplify it and we'll put it this way. At a certain time in the past, we absolutely got locked down into a mimic architecture that emulated the 3D reality, which in terms desist our use of our intuition or our natural force of power within us as the human person connecting to the God force or to the prime source, whatever we call the creator. And when that got locked down, we began to have a greater chasm or schism between the masculine and feminine.
Yes.
Because it was the dark state, the cabal, the patriarch, whatever we call them, it was that power that was so frightened and terrified of the Shakti force, of the feminine force, that they not only tried to usurp it for themselves, which they could never do, but they have certainly barreled it down in terms to its lowest denominator, for not only women, but for the Earth herself, for Mother Earth, for our agriculture, for our farming, for the trees growing, for the ocean, the air, everything about the Earth is also reflecting what they have done to us in our own bodies and mind state.
Yes, and this division has led to us living really in a prescriptive time, dissecting everything, and it has been a huge deterrent.
Yes, because we're kept busy. We are manipulated so that the mind is constantly in a loop.
Right,
the thing
of
is,
course.
We can turn off the simulation of a TV program or the news we don't want to hear. But we were not able for so long to turn off the programming on ourselves. And this is why the new Earth comes into such a phenomenal thing, because never in the history of the universe has this happened, Robin, where we're given the chance to escalate to absolutely within ourselves change our vibration. We're given all these solar flares. Have you seen the astrological lineup in the last few years? It's been intense. All you hear from the astronomers is this hasn't happened in 20 years, this hasn't happened in 2,000 years. You know, because basically the entire universal force, and we know that there are light beings behind us, like the Galactic Federation of Light and the Arcturians and the Sirians and Andromedians. These are all different star systems. But the fact is that there has been an incredible convergence of aid to planet Earth.
Yes.
Because we were coming on the edge of nuclear destruction. We were showing all of the signs and symptoms blatantly that other planets that went under, like Atlantis, whatever, before Lemuria, Atlantis, that went down because of the same reason. And Earth is such a living library. There are billions of galaxies in our universe, which we sort of never knew. So much of what we have learned has to be unlearned. And the unlearning itself is the lesson that we are in right now. You know, not to respond to so much to the aggression. Because if you look down in the abyss long enough, it looks back at you, right? So we can't waste our energy in that way. We simply need to understand who we truly are in the Shakti force of ourselves, not only as women, but as men, because we all have this force. Men have the more primordial masculine power called Shiva. And in other traditions, it's been called many things. The balance of feminine masculine has been the bedrock of every major ancient tradition, known or unknown to us. That balance is critical because it's the balance of the universe herself. We didn't prescribe that. And we are not equal to men, and men are not equal to women. We are diverse and incredibly different, but we have specific powers.
I think along with this, from your inspiring life of inspiring health and wholeness and peace on so many levels, working with people individually for their health or speaking with interreligious leaders and global humanitarians, I want to hear your maybe definition and non-definition, perhaps, of power, because power seems to insinuate always power over or creating this power struggle, when really, if we have a new definition or a new way to look at it, it does create that balance and it takes us away from, and I believe you coined this phrase, binary reality.
This is why a simple shift in perspective alone is not enough. We can do that. It will help. But we're being given the entire golden platter right now, Robin. Mm. We're being given the rarest of opportunity to actually, from the environmental, the atmospheric, incredible pressure of from the central sun itself and other planets and the light beings, this opportunity. But we have to do the work inside of us to lift that vibration within us. All we have to do is open our heart, open ourselves, understand that we're not going to feed the fodder of the 3D matrix any longer, and that we are going to open to what we have. The perspective is this. We have a living, incredible heart that is more than something that beats. It carries the entire rhythm of our universe, of our planet, of the suffering, of the joys, of everything. And when we open that heart, when we're open to that heart, there is only one way to reclaim the kind of power you and I are talking about, power of sovereignty, of self-sovereignty, the power of self-control, the power of self-governance, the power of self-discipline, the power of self-whatever. That way is through that unconditional love and the heart is the seat of it. The heart is the throne for it.
Yes, I love that.
Everything.
Yes,
we,
the heart is
we
the
can
throne.
Do 2,000,000 practices, as you know, that, you know, from the very first time when you and I met, I had just written, I think, A Life of Balance.
Yes,
a
exactly.
book that is so beautiful with sadhana and what the living energy of our fingers and the elements are about and how when we pung, how when we thresh the grain, what happens to the rhythm within us when we punged the spice seeds, what happened, you know, the aroma, the actual living rhythm of who we are. That is the power. As simple as it is, that is the power. The power to be at one with what we've always been at one with until the treaty thing happened. For thousands of years, we've been in this loop. The power to be just who we are. It's not that difficult.
Well, that's what I loved in your book.
After some years later, as you can see in one of the chapters, I think six of Aum Shakti, I talked about some of the most brutal times I had endured in the mountains of North Carolina, where, you know, I started to be targeted, and it became such an abuse, such deep, deep, incredible, intense abuse. And I was so busy being the warrior of pain and suffering that I forgot that I was the warrior of light. And the difference, that difference is what we need to, as women, understand and understand it fully. We're always guided. There's always the open hand of divine grace in our lives. But when we're so busy with the ego and the fighting and I'm being victimized, what happens is we don't see that. We don't understand that all that is happening is redirecting us, because the trajectory that I had gone on after dropping my ropes was not the right trajectory, not for my life purpose. And so I was being redirected. But did I notice it for 15 years?
I know. No, it's so funny.
Instead, I became this incredible fierce player. I was like Archangel Michael with the flaming sword, you know? Layers and layers and layers of skilled workers sent to make my life a living hell. That's what I thought. But in fact, what was happening is I was so stubborn, I was so personally strong-willed, that until I collapsed, until I became totally immobilized from just sheer exhaustion after fighting it for 15 years, I suddenly understood the most amazing thing. I got out of my own way so that I could see that the divine grace was so busy working for me.
It's funny now, right? Not when we're in the thick of it.
On firmer ground.
Right. Well, your quote from your book, there were a few that really stuck out for me. In this one, surrender and forgiveness are the two perennial realities we are bound to at the bottom of the abyss or at the very top of the blessing. That's so true.
Did I say that? That sounds beautiful. Listen, the thing is that it is true. And what are we forgiving? I had to spend the whole rest of the time since those days in the mountains forgiving myself for being so egotistical that I got blinded by my own fortitude, you know?
Right. And through the other side of that, what I've come to is a place where we are all doing our best and we all have our blinders on in different places, where if we had the choice, okay, am I going to wake up today and be in total unity with Creator, or am I going to go murder somebody? It wouldn't be a choice, because we would have that awareness. Oh, of course, I want that heart. I just want that true heart. But the fact that we do have the blinders, you lived fighting the spirit for so long, and I've done my fair share in my years of doing the other. But when we can come to that place, then forgiveness for me became so easy. You know, it's like, okay.
Forgiveness is easy at that stage, because we become humbled by the experience.
Yes.
And as I said, there were two, that the reality, though, because it happened, had to happen. Right?
Of course.
We also cannot deny the dross. We can't just shove it out into the garbage pail.
Right.
Because the reality of that deep abyss for me had to have happened to clear out many things, the ancestral dross, the karmic dross, the absolute 3D matrix stuff. Because two parallel realities were happening at the same time. One is the divine hand, the open hand of divine grace. And the other was the reality of purging. And so both are essential, right? If it wasn't part of the rhythm of my own journey, I would have gotten through that period a lot faster. But there were things that needed to be purged. So the lesson is like a double sword. It's like a double-edged sword. The few elder wise that I was very close to said to me, it's an illusion. It's a simulation. Just don't fight it. I was even told this. I went into Ouro Preto in Brazil and visited all the saints there. Of course, I went in the big Parigraha, the big walk around the big mountain in South India, to the Vedic temples as well. I did a lot of temple walking, and from one end of the earth to the other. I was actually, St. Anthony, the statue spoke to me. I was kneeling down in front of him in Oro Preto, and I heard the voice, and the big, huge door, the wind just made it bang in, and it just banged with such a loud resonance. And then I heard a voice saying, "It's not your fight. Get out of it."
Yes.
All of the guidance that came alive, and yet I didn't get out of it, as so many thought I could, because there was so much left to purge.
Yes.
Does that make sense?
Oh, of course it does.
My journey would have been a lot less time had I had less to purge. So both realities exist at the same time, parallel realities in this timeline that both are authentic. The fact is that I woke up. That is the big thing. And today we all need to wake up. We've all had these experiences, maybe not exactly the same as mine or yours, Robin, but we've all been beaten up, really trashed in our lives.
I don't care if you grow up in a ghetto or a silver spoon, whatever it is, we've all experienced the same emotion, the same tragedies. We've just had a different spin on it. But there is that unity between us all.
It's amazing because, you know, for years I thought about the fact that I am claircognizant, you are claircognizant, so many of us are claircognizant, and yet I couldn't see clearly.
Right.
I was so busy battling. And then I understood afterwards, okay, you purged and you got the grace all at the same time. And something changed. Ego is still there. Ego will always be there.
Yes.
For all of us. The higher ego is better than the lower ego. But the lower ego was just kicked out from under me. It just lost its legs.
Right.
And that's what we call humility, right? That's
That's
the sense of being finally at one with your soul. And that is the opportunity we're given. With this opportunity right now that we're given in this time and space, we are getting so much information. And information is an unlearning. At the same time, it is so eloquently placed, you know, that my studies in Vedanta gave me an edge. I understood it. But this is the time to live it, to truly, truly live it.
Yeah,
and we can live it with one thing and one path only, and that is the unconditional love.
Yeah.
And we have to get to that path as quickly as possible, because then all else that is the dross in our life falls away.
Yes.
And we need to know we're instruments. We're not doers. We have never been doers. We are beings. We need to find the presence of self. I am. I am the Atman. I am presence. I am. I am. That's it. Nothing else. I'm not the doer. I'm not the giver. I'm not the taker. I'm not the one doing this. I'm not being, you know, foiled by this one. We need to know whatever we're doing is service. We have to shift that little shift, that tiny little shift from doer to being.
Absolutely, yes.
And that's what gets us into the heart.
Right. And you spoke earlier about wanting to move more into the vibrational aspect of our lives. How do you want to approach that right now? Do you want to offer suggestion?
Well, we really have so much information that can be, if we can refer to the Galactic Federation. These are light beings just being channeled, and the transmissions are phenomenal. But what we do, it is an inside job. It isn't something that even the galactic sun can do for us.
Right. The only way out is in.
The only way through is in. And the only way in is through. And the fact is, what we're doing is, if we can awaken our own heart to this love, to making a pact with ourselves that no matter what, I will embrace this with love. That's all there is. There isn't any shade of it. There isn't any whatever the neighbor is doing, whatever this one is doing, whatever that one is doing. Everyone is on their own mission, so to speak, in their life mission. And I am simply observing. I'm the witness. I'm accepting it. You know, if something hits me over the head, I move away. I don't bother to hit it back, right? I am open in the heart. And in this way, we are lifting this vibration. We have the energetic support of the entire universe right now at our disposal. It's not like we're trying to do it in a 3D matrix. All of the mimic architecture, most of it has been slashed to pieces. The governments are not going to tell us this. No government wants to say it because all the corruption is there. It doesn't matter. we forgive that. They're humans. Hopefully they can go into rehab. Here is the deal. The deal is that we need to just concentrate on self-governance, self-sovereign. What does that mean? My heart is wide open. I am a prime human being. I'm totally connected to source. I don't need the spiritual leaders. I don't need this one and the intermediates and the false prophets and all of this other nonsense. I am connected directly to prime source. I will always be connected there. Yes, I love my teachers. And yes, the spiritual aids in my life have been phenomenal, fathers, mothers, whatever. But I have always had my own connection to prime source, my open heart. Let's back up that conduit without seamlessly, without any obstruction. And this way, I'm able to up my vibration. And what that means is all the nuisance things that come into our mind, okay, the mind has been trained for a long, long time. So we're not going to get rid of it, but we catch it. We catch it and we redirect.
Yes, yes.
Emotions of pain, and I'm suffering, and I'm a victim, and I'm this, and this is not happening, and I'm complaining, and I'm blaming this one. All of those emotions are low vibratory emotions. And I've been guilty of doing them myself. But I've learned since my rebirth, so to speak, I've learned that the gas coming my way is actually a love letter from the divine telling me to recalibrate my breath. Right? I can breathe and rewrite my story rather than that person is doing this and da, 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 da. Right?
I love taking it one step further and saying what I think is none of my business.
The observation is exactly the crux of the matter we're talking about.
Yes.
The mind has been looped into a cage structure electronically, technologically, by the cabals, by the dark state. I'm not going to go into the whole architecture of it, but the fact is all of the powers are falling on their face. The fact is they don't have the courage to stand up and tell the world that they know precisely what's going on because they've been behind the steering wheel of it all. And it doesn't matter if they tell the world or not, we are changing. People right now are raising their vibration, and this is exactly what we need to clue into.
For me, even like paying attention or focusing on that dark side and naming it with all these different avenues they're going down, I don't want to focus there. I just want to go into heart, and that's where I want to catch myself.
Every woman on the planet say the same thing, Robin.
Right.
Because the Shakti force has to be the one that is on the forefront right now, because that is what makes the change.
Yeah. And
the
Shiva
force is the stabilizer and the protector and the absolute holding the ground firm for us, but we are the ones who need to say, I don't want to hear it. Shut up.
Yes.
Or just shut your television off. Or God bless you. Or go to rehab.
Right.
Or let us set up the same
thing. Go get an ice cream.
For the Native American, what is it called? Reservation and send them all there. Right?
Yeah.
I mean, we must do it differently than they would do it. Because what happens is, as Nietzsche said, if we look down the abyss long enough, it stares back at you.
Mm-hmm.
And so many good, righteous people who want good are so busy banging against the governments and about all the horrible things that are happening. And they forget that they're losing their light because they're becoming more like the prosecutor. I've seen so many of my good friends do this. And it's not about the red flag or the blue flag or the green flag or the orange flag anymore. It's only about the white flag of the divine source. That's it.
And let me ask you this, going back to something I read in your book that struck a chord. And once again, I'll quote you, we have been trained to equate alienation from nature with the freedom to do as we please. And so including in this, that vibration that you want to focus and make more and more of us aware of, bring us back from an alienation from nature. How do you respect that in the best way? Is it with the breath to come back to self? What is a suggestion?
Oh my God, just walk barefoot on the grass. Just go into a field and pick the fruits of a tree that is just longing to give it to you. Just love, just unconditional love of the nature that has given us so much. The alienation is just the loop of the mind, but the heart has always been open.
Many thanks to Maya Tiwari. For anything we do here, please go to tributariesradio.com and find our podcasts on your favorite platform. I'm Robin Clare. Thanks. or staying tuned.